Here's another listener essay.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Listener essay.
Listener essay. Listener essay.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today's listener essay comes from Paul and is titled Latter-day Seafaring on the Old Ship Zion. Now, if you want to vote for this essay and give some private feedback to the author, visit our website. I'll give you the form letter pre-recorded detail message at the end of the episode today. But for now, take it away, Paul.
I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea and the sky. And all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by. And the wheels kick and the winds song and the white sails shaking. And a grey mist on the sea's face. And a grey dawn I must go down to the seas again, for the call of the running tide is a wild call and a clear call that may not be denied. And all I ask is a windy day with the white clouds flying, and the flung spray and the blown spume, and the seagulls cry. I must go down to the seas again, to the vagrant gypsy life, to the gull's way and the whale's way, where the wind's like a whetted knife. And all I ask is a many young from a laughing fellow rover, and quiet sleep and a sweet dream, when the long trick's over.
Right now, my emotions are raw. You know that feeling of unsettledness right at the moment you realize you really have no idea what is happening? Like maybe in the moment immediately after a car wreck, or a significant injury sustained by playing some sport. Or you suddenly have the realization that the worldview and religious teachings you subscribe to all your life are, in all practicality, not true. In my life, I've mentioned that faith is a journey. It really is. There's a path we all trod. Yours is undoubtedly different than mine. No two people take the same path. Paths may converge and diverge, but they are never wholly congruent. Today, I find my path diverging from the direction I thought it would take me. Today, I am different. Dean Gary Hall of the Cathedral Church of Saints Peter and Paul likes to invite attendees to Sunday church services with the phrase that I'm presently drawing comfort from. He says, "Whoever you are and wherever you find yourself on the journey of faith, you are welcome to worship at God's table." What he is literally doing is inviting all people, regardless of any circumstance or condition, to come take the bread and wine of communion. What he is figuratively doing is providing comfort to those who feel marginalized by extending the hand of grace to all people. While I don't personally know the very Reverend Gary Hall, I take his words for myself. I find myself in a journey of faith that has entered uncharted waters. There be monsters, as it were. I know many have gone before me, especially recently, but today, I have sailed beyond Cape Boador into the territory of monsters.
President Brigham Young commonly employed the old ship Zion as a metaphor for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He said on one occasion, "We are in the midst of the ocean. The storm comes on, and as sailors say, she labors very hard. I'm not going to stay here, says one. I don't believe this is the ship Zion. But we are in the midst of the ocean. I don't care. I'm not going to stay here. Off goes the coat, and he jumps overboard.
The old ship Zion. I know a thing or two about ships. Stay on the ship, he says. Stay on the ship. In my career, as one who goes down to the sea in ships, the question has always vexed me. How does a captain know when is the right time to abandon ship? We are taught in survival classes that the best place for a person on the sea is on the ship. The decision to abandon ship is made when, in the best judgment of the ship's master, leaving the ship is more safe than staying on. But how do you know when that is? Many books, news articles, law cases, and investigative reports tell tales of when ships' captains have failed to make the right call. One of the more famous examples is that of Captain E.J. Smith. For those who don't know, he was the captain of the boat Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet rode on in that terrible movie.
Seeing her coming out of the darkness like a ghost ship still gets me every time.
Take a look at this drawing that we found just today. A piece of paper that's been underwater for 85 years.
I'll be damned.
All right, you have my attention. Can you tell us who the woman in the picture is?
Oh, yes. The woman in the picture is me.
Louis XVI wore a stone called the Blue Diamond of the Crown.
And today it would be worth more than the Hope Diamond.
If your grandmother's who she says she is, she was wearing the diamond the night the ship sank.
You really think she was there?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a believer.
Are you ready to go back to Titanic?
The book is on the grandest ship in history, and you act as if you're going to your execution.
Now forget it, Boyle. You'll never get next to the likes of her.
His ship was the best, put in air quotes, the best ship ever constructed. It was fast. It was strong. It was luxurious. Could one possibly say it was true? But it sank on its maiden voyage, killing many of the passengers and crew. Just prior to Titanic's maiden voyage, Captain Smith is quoted as saying,
"When anyone asks me how I can best describe my experience in nearly 40 years at sea, I merely say, uneventful. Of course, there have been winter gales and storms and fog and the like, but in all my experience, I have never been in any accident or any sort we're speaking about. I have seen but one vessel in distress in all my years at sea. I never saw a wreck and have never been wrecked, nor was I ever in any predicament that threatened to end in disaster of any sort."
Well, I don't think that Captain Smith was ready for that, for ship to sink. The Titanic was the best in many ways, but it was, in all honesty, lacking in very important areas. It didn't have sufficient life-saving apparatus for all souls on board. As a result, many perished. I wonder how Captain Smith felt when he realized his ship had been fatally damaged, that at that moment, leaving the ship in the frigid Atlantic waters was the safe thing to do. The realization that he was in command of a vessel that didn't have sufficient lifeboats for all the people on board. How did he feel? At that moment, everything he knew about seafaring changed. He was in a predicament that threatened to end in disaster. There seems to be a parallel between the steamship Titanic and the old ship Zion. The great and mighty ship is steaming along the waters of faith when suddenly it strikes something. It could be problems regarding the historicity of the Book of Mormon, Mountain Meadows Massacre, Joseph Smith's secret practice of polygamy and polyandry, or whatever. Let's just say whatever it is, it's not faith-affirming. What do you do? What do you do? Your whole worldview, which you were so sure of, is now so very tentative and fragile. Everything you thought you knew, all of a sudden you simply don't. Mormonism teaches us to trust our feelings. That is how we know things are true, after all. Empirical truth is seemingly subservient to how true we feel something is. But what do you do when your head tells you something is fake and your feelings no longer give that warm, affirming sense of truth to which you've become so accustomed? You're now in crisis.
Who am I? Where am I going? Here I sit all alone, not knowing why. Brace me up, I'm so discouraged. Help, I think I'm gonna die. How it hurts to be a no one. How I wish that I was someone really loved. Brace me up, I'm such a failure. Heaven help me up above. Isn't there someone with a hand to spare who can share what they have for my hunger? Isn't there someone who will take me as I am, embrace me up, not put me down, make me feel like I'm as good as another? Doubts and fears keep coming faster. Boy, I'm headed for disaster, that's for sure. Brace me up, I'm going under. Help somebody find a cure.
Brace me up. I'm so discouraged. I think I'm going to die. How do I describe how I feel? I'm looking for someone with a hand to spare. There is no one. I'm a nobody. Outside of a very small group of people, no one knows I exist. Personally, experiencing my old ship Zion striking a metaphorical iceberg only accentuates that feeling of aloneness. The heart breaks, the mind races, adrenaline rushes throughout the body. Focus is gone. Trust has fled. Relationships suffer. I cannot ever be the same.
Captain Smith, what do we do now? The ship has struck an iceberg.
Stay in the boat.
But the hull is breached. We're taking on water. Compartments below are flooding. The ship is going down.
Stay in the boat.
What the hell is wrong with you? Can't you see we're in peril?
Stay in the boat.
Today, I find myself in the frigid waters of the North Atlantic Ocean, clinging to the remnants of the old ship Zion, hoping they will spare my life. It seems that I was not fortunate enough to make it into one of those lifeboats, but that is okay. I can actually see more clearly now who I am. I can see a glimmer of hope on the horizon. There's a ship coming to the rescue. All I have to do is not freeze to death in the frigid waters before they get to me.
Thank you for the listener essay. We desire all to receive it. And if you want to vote for it, go to the website and vote for it and give the author some feedback. And then tune in again tomorrow, because we'll be doing this all over again with a brand new listener essay. I'll have all the long-winded fancy details as an Easter egg, so you can skip over it if you want, or listen to it if you want. It'll be there after Zoe says, "Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones."
That's how we roll.
Hi, this is Hillary.
Matthew. Ryan.
Carol.
Keith.
Ashley. And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear,
consider supporting us on Patreon for as little as $1 per episode, capped at whatever total amount you want to cap that at. I mean, where do you think the money is coming from to award prizes to the listener essays, huh? Pretty cool stuff we're doing on Infants on Thrones. Also,
give The Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.
Well, that was a great listener essay, wasn't it? Ready to go vote for it? Now, if you've heard this before and you're an old pro at voting for these essays, you can just skip over this part. Now, here's how this is going to work. As it stands right now, I have 14 listener essays, and that means that for the next 2 weeks, starting today, February 7th, ending on February 20th, you will be hearing one listener essay per day, at least for those of you who listen in real time once the episode is released. And FYI, some of these essays were submitted to us without a title, so I gave them a title myself. So if you think the title of the essay is stupid, well, that's probably my fault, because damn if I don't love me some stupid. But here's the really exciting part. One of these 14 essays will win $218, because it's 2018 now, and we like to be cute and stupid about things, but we're not able to award a $2,000 prize just yet, okay? Another essay will win $109, half of the 218, and I think I actually got the math right this time, I think. And a third will win $50, and you listeners get to choose who these winners will be, and you'll also be able to give private feedback to each author. So here's how that's going to happen. After you listen to the essay today, go to our website, infantsonthrones.com, find the post for the essay that you listen to, and be sure that you have the author's name and the essay title right so that your feedback goes to the right place. Click on the survey that's associated with that essay, and it's going to be there on the post. Fill out the survey and submit it, and then sit back and breathe in and breathe out and feel life's energy flow through you and bask in the warm feeling of knowing that you made a difference in the life of someone brave enough to submit a listener essay to Infants on Thrones. Now, when you fill out these surveys, you're going to be asked two things primarily. One, to rate the essay on a scale of 1 to 5. And then you'll also have the opportunity to write in some of your thoughts, some of your feedback for the author. It'll only take a few minutes, and then boom, you're done. Now, you can do this for every single essay, every single one of these 14 essays. You can vote, or you can put your feedback for each one of these 14 essays, but you can only vote once for each essay. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, voting will be open through the entire month of February, even though the essays will stop on the 20th. You'll still be able to vote for the last week or so of February. On March 1st, voting will be closed, and then the winners will be announced on Saturday, March 3rd. Now, some of you may be wondering, is there a deadline for submitting essays? Well, no, not really. Now, this contest with these 14 essays, that will end with the final essay being released on February 20th. But my hope is that as you listen to these essays, you will feel inspired to make one yourself and share your unique view of the world with the rest of our listening audience. So, if you want to do that, submit it, and as soon as we get another 10 to 15 essays, we'll start another contest. How's that? Make sense? pretty good deal, huh? And isn't that really how the world's supposed to work anyway? I mean, think of it like this. It could be kind of like if you were kneeling at an altar and you looked up and you saw this big mirror on the wall in front of you. And in that mirror, you could see not only your own reflection looking back at you, but you could see the reflection of the mirror on the wall behind you and the back of your head. And then in that reflection, you also saw another reflection of yourself, both front and back, stretching outward and onward, upward throughout all generations of time and throughout all eternity, like Rey in the new Star Wars movie, if Rey had like been at an altar and married herself. Can you marry yourself? What is that, Master Wedshin? I don't know, in some kind of a weird Mormon Jedi temple ceremony thing that distinguishes one type of nerd from other types of nerds. That's kind of what this essay contest is like. No, I don't know. Will it end? Can you submit essays forever and ever and be like Rey? I don't know. See, what did I tell you? I love me some stupid. So this is the deal. Infant Listener Essay Contest. Please participate and make this thing super special, because special isn't just a euphemism anymore, or something remarkable like that.
Hi, this is Hillary.
Matthew, Ryan,
Carol,
Keith,
Ashley,
and I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear,
consider supporting us on Patreon for as little as $1 per episode, capped at whatever total amount you want to cap that at. I mean, where do you think the money is coming from to award prizes to the listener essays, huh? Pretty cool stuff we're doing on Infants on Thrones. Also,
give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did.
Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.